often need to call on someone. Erin Cuthbert can so often be that player.
Looking really off, there's Kenny Dalglish making the angle for the shot. Dalglish makes it 3-1 and equals a Scottish scoring record.
As I say, we have some very special guests, and we have Scotland and Manchester United forward Emma Watson. We have Scotland's record goal scorer. A round of applause, everyone. At the other end, we have Scotland's record goal scorer, Julie Fleeton. Julie. Glasgow City head coach and Scotland assistant coach as well, Leanne Ross. And referee, Abby Hendry. And as well as that, I'm very pleased to say that we have one of our trailblazers in the... She's looking at me like, what are you talking about? In the audience.
Sign up for that.
Listen, I'm waiting on you to lead the Q&A. But give up for Rose Riley, who also joins us. So kicking us off then, Julie, let's start with you and just talk about how you actually got started playing football. Take us back to when you first kicked a ball, if you can remember, and I'm curious to just know, what was the women's game actually like then? Was it even fully developed at all?
I didn't know about a women's game at all when I started playing. I think probably like most people, just playing football in the garden, playing with siblings, and then I kind of played football at school, which is where boys in my class kind of asked me if I would join their team, and at that point, it was really bizarre, the thought that I could put on a strip and be part of a team, and that was just really strange. So I was always desperate to ask my mum and dad, am I allowed? Can I play? I remember begging, please let me play. And I ended up joining the boys' team, and I had no idea that there even was a girls' team. There certainly wasn't in my area. It was kind of further afield than that. And I played for 3 or 4 years with the boys' club. Before I then started to look elsewhere and see if I could continue playing football, so which I could do, and I had to travel just maybe about 25 minutes to play with the nearest team, which was Prestwick, who became Ayr United.
And the boys' team and showing them all up, let's be quite honest.
I don't know about that, but I absolutely loved it. I remember being in, having to get changed in the car, there was no changing facilities. I remember the other team saying there's a lassie playing with their team, and I was kind of quite chuffed at that they still identified that I was a lassie. And I absolutely loved it. I mean, there was lots of comments from parents, from the other players, and I have to say there wasn't a single bit of it that bothered me. All I cared about was I was getting to put football boots on, getting to put a strip on, getting to be in an 11-a-side game, and I just absolutely loved it from then.
Leanne, you were nodding there. Is that a similar situation that you can remember from first kicking a ball and just the barriers that you had to getting into the game, and it was a case of playing with the boys?
Yeah, pretty similar to Julie's story. We're obviously the same age, I think, and
you're a bit older, I think.
You're actually older than me. But yeah, same experience in terms of not really knowing that the women's game existed at that point. I just kind of fell into football, to be honest, so playing with friends at school, and then one of my friends said, well, I go to the local club, so why don't you come at the weekend and try it out? And that was Stenhouse Muir, and I played there right up until I was 16, but not in organised football, so I basically just trained once a week in a boys' team, and we played a friendly every few months, and that was like against the boys' brigade or a local club or whatever, and it was exactly the same. Oh, they've got a lassie playing, they'll be easy. But the boys that we played with really looked after the two girls that were playing in that team, and I just loved it. And I wanted to keep playing the game. So played at high school, really fought for a girls' team to be set up there. And then I was scouted by a local club from playing school football. And then the rest is history.
Rest is history. Emma, a wee bit younger, 18?
Yeah.
Aren't you still? Yes. So you came through the Rangers Academy.
Yeah.
Talk to us about just what your first experience getting into football was like and why you decided this was a sport that you wanted to pursue.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I used to go watch my older brother play football, and I used to kick a ball at the side of the pitch while he would play, and I just wanted to get involved. So I joined my local boys team and started playing with them for a few years, and then moved to Birmingham Thistle, who was my first girls team, and then obviously made my move to Rangers a few years later and came through all the ranks to the first team. But yeah, I'd say it's definitely my brother that got me into football in the first place.
Your brother, where is he?
He's at the back, he's over there.
Look at him, he's got the biggest beamer on his face. He's like, I'm getting the credit here. But Emma, was it right that did you score your first goal against Birmingham when you'd made your debut for Rangers? Yeah. So that was that like a full circle moment?
It was a bit bittersweet because obviously I'd been at the club for 5 years, Birmingham Thistle for 5 years, and I have a lot of love for the club. But yeah, I did
score my first goal again. So.
And here to keep everyone in line, the cards will hopefully be staying in the pocket, but we do have Abby. Abby, your mum is a referee, is that right?
Yeah, so I do the job that people probably question why I do it. but there's a reason why I'm still doing it, so it's one of those ones. But yeah, so I got involved. My mum was a referee, so I can remember when I was younger, I always basically watched her, and it was always one of those ones that like, I just couldn't always read the laws of the game. What a bizarre book to read at school, but I was so desperate to become this like football referee. Honestly, I have no idea why or at that point in time. And I actually passed the exam on my 16th birthday, and from there it was just, for me, it was one of those ones. I didn't really take it overly serious. Like, I was just dead. I was comfortable where I was, just with the girls, club academy, and I was just dead. Hell, it was a Saturday job for me, so instead of working at a cafe, I was doing games, getting paid more for it, so I was excited being at high school with all this money. so I'm not going to lie, that's probably why I stuck at it for a wee while. But then it was probably in the last few years that I've kind of realised how much opportunity there is in refereeing, both male and female, but especially for females. And it's the last few years where I've really just taken it more serious. And yeah, just trying to knuckle down and see how far we can go.
And you've refereed actually with your mum. Was it your mum was the linesman and you were the referee or the other way round?
I feel like that was years ago. so I have done that before as well. And then she was my fourth official once as well. Can't forget that.
I mean, the thing is, as you joked about though, it's a job that not many people would envy. We see just how much scrutiny and criticism referees come under. As a female referee, do you feel that even more?
Honest opinion, probably no. Not, I wouldn't say, I don't think it's as bad as what people anticipate it to be. I do think, especially even in the male game, that we're maybe respected slightly more as opposed to not. Put it this way, I've still been doing it and I'm 25 now, so there's never been a point in my life where I thought I want to give up completely. Gosh, there's been times after games, there's been times you think, why do I do it? But there's never been a time where I've thought I'm just going to give up. So no, I wouldn't say it's overly, the scrutiny is bad, but definitely there. But it depends, obviously, how you take it. It's an emotional kind of balance, but yeah, you know what you're putting yourself in for, unfortunately.
Julie, let's go back to just the time that you spent at Arsenal. 17 trophies, isn't it? I mean, when you look back on your career and just everything that you've achieved, just how do you reflect on that kind of success?
I think I was extremely lucky, first of all, to go to Arsenal. And then what we had at Arsenal was a really strong team. So I was just one part of this brilliant team. I was down at Arsenal recently and we were talking about old times and our team that I played in, and there was just so many talented players, which is why we won the trophies that we did. But we were just a really good team. We just seemed to blend well together. I didn't train with the team at all, which made it a bit more difficult to get to know the players off the pitch. But I felt like as soon as I went on the pitch, because they were so talented, it just kind of clicked for us. So it was quite a bizarre situation where I lived in Scotland and I would just fly down on a Sunday for games and back home after the game. But it was just working for me. I was a teacher at home, and I couldn't give up my job and move down there. So, but it was a brilliant time. It was a great time to kind of be a footballer, maybe not as good as it is now, considering the amount that they get paid. But just the fact that everything was growing, you felt like you were part of something special. Certainly at Arsenal, they looked after you more than any other club that I had been to. And they were obviously getting success year on year. So, I look back at it and it was a brilliant period in my life.
I don't want to think about the cramp potentially on that flight back on Sunday on the plane.
It could be worse if it was like a game where I was travelling. So if we were playing Everton at kind of Liverpool, then you're sitting in the car. That was worse than on the flight. But and I lived in Inverness for some of it, so sometimes I was flying into Glasgow on a Sunday night. My husband and I would drive to Inverness because I was working on a Monday morning as a teacher. So the journey was massive for what was only 90 minutes of football. So I must have really enjoyed those 90 minutes if I kept making it, didn't I?
Your time playing in the States, obviously the first Scot to play professional. What was the setup like? How far ahead was the women's game in the States?
Yeah, when I went out there, they had kind of won the World Cup, won the Olympics. We were a sellout. We weren't a massive stadium. It was maybe about a 10,000 kind of seater stadium. It was sold out every single game. It was the first time I had gone to football. I'd played in the public park before that, and you were lucky if you get a few people's parents come along, maybe a couple of dogs. So to then go and jump into professional football, well, the stadium was full. There was Scotland flags, just people just kind of embracing the fact that you were coming from another country and joining their team and kind of just taking you into their family. I lived with a host family, Emma was talking about that for her as well. I had to live with a host family when I went out there as well. So it was brilliant to go somewhere where they just loved women's football. They loved everything about it. They were so passionate about the game. And it was kind of, I had never ever thought that I would ever be a professional footballer. I had grown up just loving playing football. That was a hobby for me, and went to university because in my head I was always going to need to have a job and then I could just play football at the weekends. So to actually go to a country then where they were giving me money to go and do something that I absolutely loved was really bizarre to start with. But it was a wonderful experience.
Leanne, you obviously spent, was it 14 years playing with Glasgow City before you then made the step to become head coach. How was that transition, just going from being one of the squad to the woman in the middle, all eyes on you and making those decisions?
Pretty seamless, I think, to be honest. I'm very lucky that I've got the support of the club in terms of giving me that opportunity first and foremost. But yeah, just my teammates that were in the dressing room were really receptive as well and really supportive, and I think they made it just as easy for me to make that step. It was a huge decision at the time. Obviously, I was, like Julie, I was working full-time and trying to play football as well. So it was a huge decision for me to give up my career and to change and to become a football coach. So, yeah, just really grateful for that opportunity, and I think it was seamless, but I don't know.
She was always really calm.
She always
She always had that in her.
Says Julia the Billy.
You came in halfway through the season, led City to their 16th title. We remember just that dramatic final day of the season. Gosh, I think for all of us who were watching or listening and trying to stay across the games, it was like hearts and in your throat kind of games. But talk us through how that was for you, especially being a former player who I'm guessing was standing on the touchline desperate to probably jump on the pitch.
No, absolutely was not, tell you that.
But, you looked calm.
Well, that's one thing when I reflect on it. Like you're saying, I probably wasn't the most calm person on the football pitch when I was a player, but I think that's something that I really tried to develop and to change about myself. And I think looking back now, I kind of believe just actually how calm I was in that game. But I just felt that we could still do it. I still had that belief, and the players had the belief as well. And we managed to go and do it. I certainly wasn't calm after the ball hit the back of the net. I think the first thing that I turned around and said was, how long left? And then that minute or whatever it was left, 2 minutes. Still so much happened in that time that I think I had 3 heart attacks and roses fell out of me because she thought she was giving the trophy to Celtic. But
to present the trophy to Celtic, there was a minute to go, so I'm with my lippy on, so then
all ready to present the trophy to Celtic, the lipstick's on, and then it's snatched.
So my language was a wee bit...
We fell out for 5 minutes, but we're talking about it anyway.
Did anything compare, though, to win a title in that fashion? Must have just felt like, it, as you say, a relief, but what an achievement.
Yeah, and for me, to do it in my first season as a head coach, and then to find out later on that I was actually the first female to win the league. Woo-hoo. With the club. Thank you. I never actually realised that until, like, I seen it on social media and stuff, so that was quite special, but... obviously to do it with the club that I've played for so long and that I love makes it so much more special.
Emma, you're still at the beginning of your career. I know we'll talk more about your injury, but when you listen to just Julie and Leanne and what they've done with their careers, what they've achieved, whether it's playing, management, does that serve as inspiration to you?
Yeah, no, I think 100%. I think, you know, what they've done in the women's game has been massive. And yeah, definitely things I look up to and people I look up to and aspire to be like one day.
So talk us through then, you made the move, so you were at Rangers.
Yep, Rangers.
And then you made the move to Manchester United.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? Because you had spent, was it three years in the senior squad?
Yes.
With Rangers?
Oh, yeah,
but obviously you'd been there coming through the academy.
Yeah.
So was it an emotional moment to then have to tear yourself away?
Yeah, I would say it was a very difficult decision to make, because obviously I'd been at the club for so long and they had done so much for me, and it was very, very emotional and it was hard, but I knew it was a decision I wanted to make, and, you know, one that would take me in a new direction and would hopefully develop myself as a person and my football career. So I knew I had to make that step, but it was, yeah, definitely very hard. A lot of tears were had, but, yeah.
Sad.
What's been the highlight then? What's been the highest moment?
Highest moment of my career so far would be having made my debut for the Scotland national team against Australia. I think that was just that. Yeah, that was like a dream come true kind of moment, and we got a good result that day as well. So, that was very special, that moment.
You ended up with an ACL injury. I know you've been recovering from that. How tough has the last number of months been since that injury? And you must just be desperate to get back out playing.
Yeah, no, I'm itching to get back. I think obviously when it first happens, it's the end of the world. It feels like the end of the world. And I think the first few weeks and months were really difficult. But I had a lot of support from my family and United and the Scotland team, and obviously a lot of players as well. So I was very grateful for that support. But yeah, it was tough. But I feel like as I've gone through this process, I've changed lots of person and I've grown and I've learned so many new things. And I think as bad as the situation as it's been, I think it's definitely been a learning opportunity. I definitely think I've learned lots of things going through this process, and I think in some ways it could be a blessing in disguise. But yeah, I think I'm 21 weeks post-op now, so back on the pitch and getting to the fun bit of rehab now. So yeah, it's going well.
Yes, we cannot wait to see you back out on the pitch. Julie, when there's been a lot of studies done recently in terms of ACL injuries, particularly for women, 6 times more likely to suffer an ACL injury than a male footballer. The fact that UEFA have now just got a panel to look into the actual research, it's to see what can be done about that. Are you surprised that it's taken that long?
Yeah, I probably am. I remember going back to when I was in the Scotland team kind of a long time ago, and I remember when Vera Powell was our coach. I don't know if you'll remember this at all, Leanne, but she had a thing about females doing like kind of leg weights, doing heavy weights, and we as a national team, we never touched heavy weights. We were trained in different ways, and I always remember that. And we didn't have any ACL injuries in our national team at that moment in time. And then I moved to America, and they were big on doing a weights program, and we would do that. We would maybe go to 2 or 3 times a week. We would go to the gym as a team, and we would do, and we probably had 3 or 4 a season as a team. Now, whether that had absolutely anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But it just seemed a really big coincidence to me at the time. I remember our, Pauline Newcombe, maybe help me out here. Do you remember this?
Yep.
And Vera was absolutely not. She didn't want anyone doing that type of training. And whether there was anything in it, I don't know. But I certainly remember it just being something in my head when I'd gone to America that I'm now being asked to train a different way, and there was a reason maybe why Vera didn't want us doing that. And so I've never heard anyone else say it since, but so whether that has anything to do with it or not, I don't know.
Abby, we've been talking obviously about the fact that Leanne, Julie, they've served as these inspirations when it comes to for young female aspiring footballers. Do you see yourself as doing that for female officials and referees of the future? The fact that if they can see a role model in you and see somebody doing that, that it could really make a difference?
Yeah, I hope so. I really do hope so. It's one of those ones, like, maybe not right now, but maybe in years to come. Yeah, I do hope so. We, as an association, my local association, we've got the highest amount of female referees that we've ever had. So, and it's 10, but which doesn't sound a lot to you guys, but it's actually, it's huge. So it's, yeah, even if I'm just a wee inspiration to them just now, it's great. So being their mentor is something I'm proud to do as well.
We saw Rebecca Welch make history being the first female referee in an English Premier League game. Would you like to see that? Do you aspire to make that kind of history in Scotland?
Of course. It's one of those ones. Of course, I think anyone in my position would love to be able to say they're able to do that. So, yeah, we've just got to keep working hard, basically. Just take it as it comes.
Leanne, just to go back to what Julie was saying there, just how much the training has changed, and the research, just even in things like what we're talking about with ACL injuries. From when you started at Glasgow City as a player to now, how much change have you seen in the women's game in terms of resources and investment, and what kind of difference has it made?
It's absolutely huge. I think back to when I joined Glasgow City at first, like we would train at a different venue every night that we were training. We were very fortunate at that point that the club recognised that players had to train more and in order to develop our team and develop our players. So we were training 4 nights a week at that point. Some of us, or most of us, still had jobs as well. So we'd be working all day, come to training at night. And that was just life. Like, we played in the national team as well, and you had your extra training to do on top of your club training as well. And then you went to national team camps. And looking back, I absolutely don't know how I survived that. And now I'm still standing today. Particularly now, when you look at how well the players are supported. Yes, they do train more often, and probably the load's higher, and the demands of the game are much bigger, but the resources that are in the game now in terms of support for the players and the science that's behind it and the medical support that they have is absolutely huge, and something that I couldn't have imagined would have happened looking back at the game when I played.
Emma, you were nodding your head there. You'll see that firsthand. You'll have seen it at Rangers and, of course, at Man U.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think the level of support now is, like, outstanding for us. Like, the network and people that we're surrounded by every single day who work with us to help us improve is just crazy. From, you know, we've got, like, head physios, nutritionists, head coaches, technical staff. Like, it's just amazing what resources we have now.
And we need that, Julie. We need that for the girls' game starting at like 5, 6, don't we? The level of funding and resources in order to grow women's football as a whole, top to bottom.
Yeah, you want them to have exactly the same support as you would get in the men's game. When I was a player, my husband was also a professional player at the same time, and what he had, he would get up and go to training every morning, and he was going into training and he was getting his breakfast at training. He was following a programme in the gym that people were supporting him with. He was going out to training, he was then getting his lunch, he was doing a gym session, he was then coming home, he could have a wee rest. And I was going to work I was working all day, getting up, going to work, coming in from work, grabbing something quickly to eat, and then going back out to training. Meanwhile, he's maybe lying on the couch, having had a right hard day at training, had three meals made for him.
And then a tough shift on FIFA.
And I'm grabbing a yoghurt on the way out the door, thinking, how is this fair? And nobody was barely paying me a penny at the time. So when I look at it like that, it was just extremely unfair. And he was playing, I would have been playing at Arsenal at that time, playing for the team who had won the league down in England, and he was playing championship football in Scotland, so it didn't kind of level out the level that he was playing at, but yet the support that he was given and the people that would surround every injury he had. I remember like my dad just trying to find a physio for me to go and see, like just favours from friends, like you could come in here, you could go and see. I was going to people's houses, and whereas as a footballer, and Em will get this at United, you just go to work and those people are there for you, those people are on hand, they'll do absolutely anything. Like it's just like just miles apart, and it's just so good now to see that the girls are getting all the support that they need, and they deserve it because they work so hard, bringing on our game so much over the last few years, and they deserve to get all the backing from all these different agencies.
There's still obviously a distance to go, Leanne, but you must be so encouraged when you do see what Julie's talking about there and just the resources and what is available for female players in the same way that is available to the men that are playing the game. I mean, I know Julie was laughing about it, but the fact it is having to go and source a physio or juggle everything, and, you know, there's obviously the disparity in pay, but do you feel encouraged where we are now?
Absolutely. You only need to look at the massive strides that we've made even in the past 10, 15 years in terms of how the game's changed and evolved and developed. But for me, the biggest thing now is just to look at the grassroots level and to see the volume of girls that are accessing the game and able to play. But having the role models now to say, I want to be an Emma Watson, I want to go and play at Man United, I want to go over to America and play over there. Like, we needed those players to go and to break those barriers first and to be the role models, and I think we're very fortunate in this country that we've got so many positive role models that the young players can look up to.
How does that feel for you, Emma, that there will be like those 8, 9, 10-year-olds that are looking at you and thinking, I want to be Emma Watson, I want to be out and playing for Scotland or playing for Rangers or playing for Man U? What does that feel like for you?
I think it's amazing. I think it's a pretty special feeling that, you know, these young girls, you know, look up to me and want to be like me. But then I remember I was one of those young girls not long ago. So it's a crazy feeling, but I'm glad and fortunate that these girls are looking up to players like myself and other players. So, yeah, it's very special.
What's the long-term ambition once you're back? I know you're doing some light training again, but what's the long-term ambition for you? You've already been named Scotland's Young Player of the Year. You've already got a couple of accolades, but what's the long-term ambition?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously when I'm back playing, I want to get more minutes for United and try break into the team and obviously hopefully get back into the Scotland setup, and that would be brilliant. And then obviously longer term, like, you've got trophies like the Champions League and you've got the Ballon d'Ors and things like that, and I think I'm quite an ambitious person and I've set big goals and hopefully maybe one day I'll achieve them, so that's kind of what I'll be working towards.
Ballon d'Or, bringing it to Scotland. Yes, we can see that. Abby, what about you? What's the long-term ambition? I know you're only 25, but what would you love to achieve within the game still?
I'd love to be able to go FIFA listed. I think that's definitely kind of like something I'd love to do. But yeah, I'd love to be involved in the top league in Scotland, essentially. So it's one of those ones. I think it'd be a huge thing to be involved in top league in Scotland male side of things as well. So yeah, that's basically, yeah, just see how far I can get, basically.
VAR's not going to put you off, is it?
No comment.
Julie, just to talk about Scotland, obviously we've missed out on the last Euros. But when you think back, Scotland were there at 2017. We had the World Cup in 2019 as well. So the fact that Scotland, we've tasted these major tournaments, it's been disappointing to miss out on the last couple. But do you think that this group of players going into Euro 2025 qualifying can get to a major tournament again?
If we get Emma back.
Yeah.
So we're relying on you, Emma, Leanne, make sure you get a pick for the squad. No, I think, like, I believe in the players that we've got. We have got extremely talented players in Scotland. I think what we don't have is a massive pool of players where you lose players like Caroline Weir, Erin Cuthbert, Emma, Sam Kerr. We don't have like for like. You can't just bring in another Caroline Weir to replace her. So we're not a country where you're not going to miss these players. So you can talk about the last couple of campaigns that have been a bit disappointing. Certainly the last one, we didn't have the full squad of players that we would have liked to have selected from. And of course that's going to be kind of a big blow to us as a country. But you look at the players that we do have, good enough to go to tournaments, and I think probably a victim of our own success. We're going to those, both the Euros and the World Cup, and that's now expected. And it should be, because our game's grown so much now, and we have developed these players that are good enough to play in the biggest stage. So hopefully I'm optimistic about the next few games coming up and what we can do as a country, and I'll be backing them 100%.
Leanne, are you, you're obviously Scotland assistant coach, are you feeling confident that we can get through what is a very long, complicated qualification process?
Well, we're saying long and complicated, but the games are in such a short space of time now. I think we'll know by November, December whether we're going to the Euros or not, so it's an exciting time. But like Julie says, we need to get the players like Emma and Caroline back fit and playing. But I think it's testament to the game in Scotland now that we can call on players that are playing for Man United, playing for Chelsea, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. Like, we're Scotland. We've now got players that are playing for some of the biggest clubs in Europe. And I think the more that we can develop our game in this country and have players that are playing at the biggest clubs around Europe, like, we can only continue to grow and grow as a nation. And I think you've seen that over the years, we have done that. But the game isn't just grown in Scotland, it's grown all over the world. So as much as we're developing, the game's developing as well. And we need to keep pace with that so that we can make sure that we do make the finals in competitions.
Is there anything quite like pulling the Scotland jersey on, Emma? And you must just be desperate to get back so that you can be part of that qualification campaign and ideally get to Euro 2025 and play your part in it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think there is no greater honour than playing for your country and pulling that shirt on and, you know, a night at Hampden, like, I think it's just so special, like, nothing compares to it. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll get back into that setup soon. And obviously we have the group now and we know who we're going to be playing, so full backing for the girls, and I think we'll go and we'll do well, and, yeah, we'll give it our all.
You certainly will. Please give it up for our fantastic panel, Julie, Abby, Leanne and Emma. Now, just to open the floor, if anybody has any questions for any of our brilliant guests this evening, anything you'd like to ask?
Abby, see, when you were watching football when you were younger, so I wanted to be a player. Mm-hmm. Did you have referees that you would look at and go, I wanted to be like Kalina, or what was that?
No, I just wanted to be like my mum. but that was what it was. It wasn't as if, like, I never really watched the game. Like, I was always brought up around football, but I never watched the game to be like, oh, I really want to be that person in the middle. Like, that wasn't really what it was. It was just genuinely the only reason I'm here today doing this is because my mum did it. Like, that is literally, I just looked at her and thought, oh, she can do it, so I can do it type thing. It wasn't, yeah, that's, yeah. There's so many more role models now as well, but she was the one person I did. It sounds like but it's true.
No better role model. And that's you sorted for Mother's Day.
I know.
There's your compliment. There's your gift. Any other questions?
If you had the opportunity to choose to play football when you did start, or to start now, being a young person, what would be your choice?
I'm starting now, Maureen. I'm starting, and not
is that
like
the money.
Not just the money. I mean, the money would be nice, don't get me wrong, but the support, I would love to have known how good we could have been as a team when we had like the right resources, the right pitches to play on, the right level of coaches, the right kind of support, the information about nutrition, sports science. I would have loved to have known kind of, and also adding in even things like rest, so to have the appropriate time to rest, to have that ratio of being able to train really hard and then to be able to let your body refuel. I would love to know kind of how far our game could have been and how good we could have been as a team had we had all of that input. Now, there's not a thing I would change about my own career, and I loved all of it. Football was just my life for so long. So it's not that I'm saying I didn't enjoy any of that, but I'm a wee bit envious of kind of the support that they get nowadays. And yeah, I think it would be great just to still be a player with that surrounding.
I've just actually thought of something I wanted to ask you, Julie, earlier. I know obviously you're from the BBC and mm-hmm. your punditry and your commentary. It's still an environment, yes, there's certainly more women involved in the game as us from the BBC know, but how have you found it still working in what is a very male-dominated environment in sports journalism and media?
I think the BBC and certainly the kind of group that I've worked with is probably not as wide a group, Amy, as kind of you see on a day-to-day basis, but there's certainly been a lot of support and a lot of people that I've thoroughly enjoyed learning from and getting to know. And I mean, you go in, I'm not fazed by going in. When I played at Arsenal, I trained with a men's team, so I would train two or three times a week and I would just be in a male environment, so it doesn't bother me at all. I'm quite happy to kind of go along with the jokes, even be the butt of the jokes a lot of the time, which, as you know, you generally are in that environment. But I'm loving it. I love when there's other females coming in and I feel like brilliant. Like, I couldn't work a couple of weeks ago and Joelle was coming in, Joelle Murray, and I was like, brilliant, Joelle, how'd you get on? Like, just desperate to hear how it was and how she found it. And it's great. I love when you go in and there's other girls there and you can kind of, then you've got a bit of support, a bit of backup, you can bounce off, you start slagging them, or like, instead of you dishing
right back out. Yes.
So, no, I'm enjoying it. I have to say, like, we didn't ever get media training. Emma sounds like she's had a lot, doesn't she? She's been media trained, this girl. So we had nothing like that. So
we did so. Do you not remember the time when we went and done media training and we were interviewing each other? I remember it.
I don't know. We're going to learn off each other. So it takes a lot of getting used to. I think nowadays the kind of girls are probably getting a bit more help with that. So then at the end of their career, they might be able to slot into kind of punditry role a lot smoother than I have. So it's definitely something that I'm kind of learning as I grow.
We love having you on that sofa. Any other final questions? Yep.
Got one for Emma. Lovely to see you. Just talking about male-dominated environments, you obviously came through one of the regional performance schools and the only girl in the programme in your year. How do you think, you know, what personal qualities did you have that still allowed you to thrive in that environment, and what advice would you give maybe to young girls now who might look at that programme for them to succeed in that environment?
Yeah, I think you just have to be quite confident to be in that environment, to be around the boys every day. Kind of got to back yourself, because as you get older, obviously they grow so quickly and they become kind of like men by the time you're in like S4. So then that physical kind of element of training with them every day becomes harder. So then you need to find, you know, different ways how you can still compete with them. You can't compete maybe physically with them, but you have to be thinking quicker and moving the ball faster, being better technically. So I think, yeah, just kind of backing yourself, have a bit of confidence. I think it was one of the best decisions I ever made was going to a performance school. I think Keith Wright was obviously my coach and he's a great guy, and I think I just learned so much, and the boys were so helpful as well. And yeah, so I would encourage a lot of girls to kind of go down that route and just try it, and yeah, because you never know if you don't try, so yeah.
Great advice. Final question, anyone, before I let you go? Oh, one more up here.
Abby, you obviously talk about your mum being a strong leader and visual for you. So for the others, I was just wondering who's the first female that comes to your mind when you were younger and looking to get into football? Who inspired you?
Good question.
Probably for me, although we are the same age, I think Julie was probably... because she
look at the smile on that face.
I don't know what she's talking about, Mum. I'm going to pay her compliment. yeah, so when I was coming through, like I said, I never played competitively in the women's game until I played under-16s and then came straight in the women's game from there, but never even knew there was a Scotland team, and just happened to come along to one of the games with my friend, and I was like, wow, women actually can play for Scotland, and Julie was playing that day, and just to see those inspirational women out there actually playing for our country, and I thought at that point that's what I want to do, so... Yeah, probably Julie and that team really inspired me to go and play and to
survive, to be ambitious.
Get yourself something nice.
Julie?
I didn't really know female footballers kind of growing up. I knew of Rose, who had gone to Italy, but never ever got to watch Rose play. But then when I joined the national team, I was only 15. And Polly McDonald was my first roommate. She was the captain of the Scotland team at the time, and it was a bit of a transition period. I was probably just happened to be playing football at the right time and kind of coming of age at the right time when they were changing to bringing a lot more younger players in, more youth coming into the national team, and Polly was one of the surviving older players. She was the captain, she was my roommate, and I have to say, if Pauline hadn't been as wonderful as she was, I wouldn't, as a 15-year-old, have felt as comfortable in that environment as I did. And from there, playing for the Scotland team and being around the team, not just the football side, all of it, the friendships, the off the pitch, the laughs that you had, the memories that you make. And if I hadn't had such a brilliant first experience with the national team, then possibly I wouldn't have... still been there years later. So thank you, Pauline. Aww. Nice to see you.
Yes, thankful for Pauline and for all the goals, Julie. Abby, you mentioned your mum, of course. Emma, what about you? Who was the biggest role model for you growing up? Who did you look at and aspire to be like?
Well, I think my brother is definitely a role model growing up. Obviously seeing him play, he played for Rangers as well, so kind of following in those footsteps, I would say my brother Declan. But then also I think growing up I really liked watching Caroline and what she'd done with the game, and I think she's a fantastic player, so I've kind of
always looked up to her a wee bit,
and kind of following in her footsteps a wee bit. She went down to England when she was 17 as well, so yeah, I think probably Caroline as well.
And there will be a lot of people who look up to all four of you, and I can only thank you so much for giving us your time and your insight and your stories this evening. So please put your hands together for my fantastic panel. Julie, Abby, Leanne and Emma, thank you so much.
Thank you.